We have a couple more that came in. Mandy asked us to pray for Tommy Thompson. An ambulance picked him up early this morning from the... What is the name of that? Elk City?
Mm-hmm. Nursing home.
Nursing home. And then I want to... If we can say a prayer for Steve also that's over there. He's just tired. Hmm. He hasn't been going to his dialysis.
To his what?
Dialysis. Yeah, and he's just, he's kind of tired.
Yeah.
So if the Lord can just renew his strength mm-hmm. or give him the peace and comfort.
Okay. You said Tommy Thomas?
Thompson. Mm-hmm.
Tommy Thompson. Oh, yeah. Thank you for writing that.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool, cool. Okay.
You're awesome.
You said Tommy, he was picked up by an ambulance today. Mm-hmm. We don't quite, I mean, it's not my business. Yeah. I don't need to know. Okay, I'm just making sure it wasn't something specific. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, God, yet again, we just lift up Tommy to you. God, we don't know exactly what's happened, but God, we know there was some medical emergency that needed him to be picked up by an ambulance. Father, we just pray in the mighty name of Jesus that, God, you would just be around the medical staff that you're placing around Tommy right now. That, Father, they would be quick to act. They would find the problem, and that you would supply a solution as to what's going to best benefit him in his situation. And, God, that he would be healed, he would be repaired, he'd be restored. God, I pray that he also has salvation in you. And, God, that ultimately his healing is in the Lord. God, knowing that, man, whatever comes, whatever happens in this life, that God, if we are prepared, if we know you as our Lord and Savior, that God, we are, our biggest problem is healed, and it's our sin problem. And so, Father, I pray for Tommy. I pray he knows you as his Lord and Savior. I pray, God, for his physical health right now, God, that you would just help restore that and heal him in this moment, God. And pray for the medical staff as well, that they would just do their job diligently. They would work hard, as I know that they always do, God. We pray and ask that. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we lift up Steve to you. God, we just hear that, man, he's just tired. He's exhausted. And I hear he's on dialysis. And God, that does take it out of you. God, oftentimes you just want to quit, give up on that. And the pain of it and all the things. God, I can't speak from experience. I don't know that. But I have seen the effect that it has on people's mental, on their physical health. And God, I just pray for Steve that, God, you would just renew his strength. God, you would just bring him a burst of energy that only that you can do. And God, that may just be knowing that, man, there is still purpose in his life. And God, that however you choose to heal him, God, we pray that your will would be done, not our own. But God, we know that you are the one that can bring strength to those that are weak. And so, Father, I pray that for Steve. I pray that he would be able to be in a better state of mind. And then, God, that you would just bring him a peace beyond understanding, and bringing him words of confidence that can build him up. God, I pray that you would put people around him. God, maybe he's lonely and there's not a lot of people checking in on him. Maybe there's not a lot of people speaking words of encouragement over him or pointing him towards scripture where we can find our strength in you, Lord. And so, Father, I pray that as well, that there would be people that would go and check in on him and read scripture with him and just check in on him and see how he's doing. And so, God, whatever it is that you're going to be doing, however you see their needs, God, even though there's more that I don't even know, God, you know. And, God, we lift those up to you. We pray and ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Heart to Heart Pregnancy Center right here in Elk City is doing a baby bottle boomerang. If you're interested and an easy mission project, I want to encourage you to reach out to Heart to Heart Pregnancy Clinic here in Elk City and get one of the bottles. You fill it with change bills or like dollar bills, y'all. Not your electric bill, but your dollar bills. $20 bills, whatever dollar bills you want. Not your electric bills, okay? I just want to clarify that, y'all, okay? Your change can help change lives. If you would like to get one of these, all you have to do is contact them at 580-243-2229. Or if you would just like to send them a donation for this project, You can send that to Heart to Heart Pregnancy Clinic at P.O. Box 2122 Elk City, Oklahoma 73648. Western Plains Downed Bikers Association. Motorcycle Awareness. There's an event May 13th from 10 to 5. Location is Elk City Convention Center, 1016 East Airport Industrial Road, right here in Elk City. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue, right here in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty Church, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and socks off, y'all. Yes, that's all. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back. That's not all, folks.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The quality of life is not based on the ups and downs, but what you gain in these times. There's always something good in every situation. I know this can be hard to understand with all the bumps and bruises we encounter. It's not what happens that matters. It's what did you receive through that encounter. Encounters can knock you down or lift you up. The decision is yours.
By phone 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
We're back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Pastor Jace Morrow. Back to you.
Okay. So where kind of we left off? We're going through the parable of the 10 virgins, talking about the parable of the bridesmaids and all this. And so we've talked about the dilemma where we saw the bridesmaids. Five of them were prepared for it. Five of them were not. The five that were not prepared, they didn't have the oil prepared for the journey, for the ending of the wedding celebration after the wedding. And so we see this, and then the bridesmaids, they fell asleep. They got tired because the groom was delayed for whatever reason. And then finally, when the groom came, they all got up, were getting prepared, and then the ones that were unprepared realized, I am not actually prepared. I don't have enough to do the job that I was responsible for. And so the party that were prepared, they all left, and the unprepared were left behind. The unprepared came and asked, were knocking on the door of where the wedding festivity was happening at the groom's house, said, let us in. He says, I can't let you in. I do not know you. And we talked about how that was a lack of man, not a lack of a genuine relationship with the bride and groom, because if they had a genuine relationship, they would have been prepared. But it showed their character and their heart that there was no genuine relationship because they were unprepared. And so they left, they missed out on the whole wedding party. And so how does this relate to us? What is the connection? How do we make this practical? Well, let's walk back through there. We see this that in the parable, if you haven't figured out yet of how Jesus is giving this, is that in this story, when we see the word bridegroom, we're talking about it, that's the word that says groom, right? And so in this story, in this parable, Jesus is the groom. There are several references that God is in the scripture is described as the husband to his nation. He is the husband to his people. And so we know this, that, man, if you've been in church long enough, we know this, that the church is described as the bride of Christ, right? The church is not your brick and mortar. It's not your beautiful brick buildings that we gather in. The church is the collection of the body of believers who confess and put their faith in Jesus, right? So the body of believers, that is the church. And so we think about it in that mindset. Jesus is the groom, and he's coming back for his bride, which is the church. And so I want to give you a Bible verse that kind of speaks about God being husband over his people. It's Isaiah chapter 62, verse 5. It says this: as a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. Like, man, I think there, man, there are so many key words in there that help paint this picture of this intimate relationship that God the Father wants to have with his creation, right? Just as a groom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. It's an intimate, intentional relationship that God, the Creator, wants to have with his people, creation. And here's the thing, like we talked about earlier, all have been in this parable, all were invited to this wedding celebration. The ones that were even unprepared, the foolish, they were even invited to this wedding celebration, but only the wise and prepared will experience it. All were invited, but only the wise and prepared will experience the wedding celebration and the wedding festivities. We saw earlier that in the parable, Jesus talking about, hey, the delaying of the groom, there was, for whatever reason unknown to us in the parable, we don't know the reason why the groom was delayed, but in the same way, it's this comparison of Jesus also being delayed in his arrival coming back. But here's the thing, Jesus is not delayed in his arrival of coming back, because we know this, Jesus is coming again. Mm-hmm. He is coming back. And when he comes back, and I know sometimes we pray and we're like, oh, we want Jesus to come back. And we, yes, amen, we do. But Jesus is not slow in his arriving back or coming back. We see that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says this: the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And so just like in the parable, the groom was delayed for some reason for those to be prepared. Jesus is also delaying in his return, but it is not because he is slow in his timing and that he wish that he's just going to come back whenever, but no, he is intentional for when he comes back. He wants everybody to receive salvation. Mm-hmm. He wants everybody to have a chance to accept the wedding invitation, to receive it, so that they don't have to miss out on the wedding reception. All are invited, but only those that are wise and are prepared are going to experience it. So Jesus wants to make sure everybody has a chance to respond to the gospel, mm-hmm. to accept, to have a genuine relationship with the bridegroom, so that they're not left knocking, begging to let us back in, but rather, I have a genuine relationship with you because you were prepared, you accepted it, and you were a part of this. And so he doesn't want us to miss out on it. And so when we go back to the parable and we see this as the groom was delayed, how did we see both parties? Both parties were caught sleeping. Literally, they were both falling asleep, the prepared and the unprepared. And so if Jesus, we know this in the parable, is the groom, and and we can look at the bridesmaids, we know, okay, we've talked about, hey, there's a part of the party that are prepared and the unprepared. Well, how can we describe the prepared? Well, for me in this parable, it's the Christians. To me, it's those who already that have a genuine relationship with the groom that are prepared, which means this, it's those of us that have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and we are prepared. We know that. And so when we look at the parable and we see that the prepared, what are they doing? They are sleeping. Mm-hmm. And so I think about it this way. While they were waiting for the groom, yes, both parties were asleep, but the prepared party, they got really comfy and relaxed. Mm-hmm. They knew, hey, we're prepared. We're good. Whenever he shows up, we're ready. We'll just go. But they were sleeping. They got really comfortable. Mm-hmm. And got so relaxed that I'm getting out my beach chair. I'm just going to lay back. And, hey, whenever it happens, hey, I'm good. I've got myself straight. Anybody else that's around me that may not be prepared, hey, they're on their own. But, man, I'm on me. For me, I know I'm good. I'm straight. When he comes back, I'm ready. It's kind of like the story at the beginning where the wife says, oh, honey, you're home. It's like, yeah, but the other wives were watching for me. Like, they've gotten really lazy and comfortable. And so they just take time and relax. And so I think, man, there are a lot of Christians that are like that today. We, as prepared Christians, are ready for the return of Jesus, but we have gotten so comfortable and relaxed in our faith that we are not helping the unprepared also mm-hmm. to be prepared. We, as the prepared Christians, we must partake in the Great Commission. We have taken the Great Commission, which Jesus, we know, is Matthew 28:19-20, right? It says, go, therefore, into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have taught you, and lo and behold, know that I am with you until the end of the age. You know what that doesn't sound like? That doesn't sound like a lazy, comfortable Christian. That sounds like a command that says to go. Make disciples, teach them my words and my teachings, to observe it and to follow through. That doesn't sound like, hey, now that you're good, relax. Just wait for me to return. Just wait for me. Get out the beach chair of your life and just wait for everybody just to sail by. And some of those are sailing on a fast tank on going to hell. But you're good. Just be lazy. Just relax in the comfort of your salvation, and it'll be good. We, as the prepared party, we have got to take part in the Great Commission mm-hmm. by sharing the gospel, sharing your faith, also making disciples, which means teaching others the word of God. That's not just for ministry staff. That is not just for church employees. Mm-hmm. That's for followers of Jesus, mm-hmm. teaching what we know. And then also, not just personally, like I'm a very evangelistic, so not just personally sharing your faith, but also faithfully obeying the words of God. So yes, share the gospel. Make disciples by teaching the word of God, but also making a deep devotional life for you and the Lord. Faithfully obeying the word of God. Creating spiritual habits for you as well. So don't just talk it, but actually live it and do it yourself. And so we have got to be uncomfortable. We can't get comfy in our faith and just be relaxed the whole time. Because here's the thing. I think about this. I wonder if the prepared in the parable noticed the unprepared and chose to remain silent about it. Like, I think about that. I think about, like, the prepared, the wise party that had the – they were fully prepared. They had all the oil. They had all the flasks. They had all the rags. They were ready to go. But I wonder if the prepared noticed the unprepared and yet chose to remain silent about their condition of being unprepared. Because here's where – and so when I was teaching this, like, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, because the Lord has been not just stepping on my toes. He's been dancing on them. And so I've been convicted about this, and I hope somebody else as a Christian can relate to this and be responded as well as this. But thinking about the prepared – seeing the condition of the unprepared and choosing to remain silent, because we have a lot of Christians that do this. Jesus should not be our best kept secret.
Right.
That's a lot of what people are ashamed to be Christian. People don't want to speak out a whole lot because, oh, it's going to be offensive. I don't want to offend anybody. And I'm like, well, good grief. Well, we've offended a holy and mighty God with our sin. I think that should be more of our worry rather than just being scared of, oh, they don't believe the way I do. When I scroll through my email or get on different websites, there are stuff on the sidebar of the web pages, right? And a lot of it is just clickbait. Like, it's not even real. Like, you've scrolled through and it'll say, you'll never guess who Lindsay Lohan sat by at the Texas Rangers game. I'm like, I don't care. I don't give two craps about that. Right. But it's clickbait. You're going to click it. And it's going to take you to a link to another website, and it's going to give your computer a virus, right? It's not even worth it. It says, or if you use this oil on your bald spot, men, you will grow hair back tenfold. You're like, no, it's not. I'm not buying your snake oil. Not talking essential oils if that's you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just the fake stuff, like $2 Walmart product that ain't going to grow back, right? Or the, hey, if you take this pill in 4 weeks, you'll have a six-pack. You'll just shred the fat, right? It'll give you all the fat because it's the medical field's best-kept secret. If you take this pill, you will get shredded and lose weight, and we want you to know about it. It's our best-kept medical's best-kept secret. And we know that's bull. We know that's a lie. We know that's not even true, right? But yet people still buy into it, and that's a lie. So imagine as Christians who know the truth and yet that don't want the other people to know the truth. We've remained silent. There's all this lies and propaganda that are out there that says, hey, I believe this, and this will happen. And we know it's not true, but what about the people who know the truth and yet don't speak it? And it's about Jesus being Lord and what he's done for us on the cross. Because as Christians, most times, Jesus is our best kept secret. And that is such a shame. Mm-hmm. That is, seriously, it is having the cure to cancer and never sharing it. Because as detrimental, as horrible as cancer is, I am not making light of cancer. It is horrible. It kills. It breaks and ruins lives. But the biggest problem that humanity has is our sin problem. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the only solution for that. And so I'm not trying to make light of that. I'm just trying to make a real situation and a comparison that our biggest problem is our sin. And Jesus is fixed that and made a way that we can't on our own. And so, Christians, Jesus should not be our best kept secret. There's no, like, for me, it's this. I've come to a place, it's like no more excuses. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, there can be no more excuses on my end why I don't share Jesus with people. A lot of people, like, I used to be this way where it says, well, I don't know it well enough. I don't know the gospel well enough to share it. And I'm just like, look, there was a moment in your life where you understood it, where you knew it enough to put your trust in it. If you knew enough of it at one point that you understood you were a sinner, that Jesus is God's one and only son, that he died on the cross for you, he rose from the grave, you put your faith and trust in him, he'll forgive you of your sins, give you eternal life, make you a new creation. If there was a moment in your life where you knew enough of that to put your trust in it, then by golly, you know enough of it to share it. You're telling me you put your faith and trust in something that you don't fully understand? Then do you really understand? Are you actually prepared then? It's not enough to be able to say, I don't know it well enough, because you could ask me a lot of Atlanta Braves questions. My favorite team, MLB team, are the Atlanta Braves. I can rattle you off players. I can rattle you off stats. I can rattle you off things that happened in the past. And we learn the details of our favorite hobbies. We learn our favorite things, and we want to pass those on. We want to pass that on. Why don't we want to pass on the most invaluable thing that we have, and that's our faith in Jesus? We shouldn't be able to do that. If you knew enough of the gospel to put your faith in the first place, you should know enough to share it. And we just got to get to that place. And oftentimes, I think this, and yet again, I'm not sharing this because my church, this is how they are. They're just in that. But no, it's just Christians in general, even myself at times where I've had to wrestle through this. But oftentimes as Christians, we struggle to share the gospel because oftentimes we don't personally live the gospel. Mm. We don't share it because we don't genuinely live it. It's a good mantra. We love what Jesus does. We love what he has done for us. But we don't actually get it to the point of where we actually live it. And that's unfortunate. That's really scary. Were you trying to hop on? I kept going. Oh, okay. And so that's for the Christians, man, that we have got to partake. We have got to get out of our comfy lazy boy chairs that is our faith and stop being so relaxed. And we have got to partake in the Great Commission. It is the Great Commission, not the Good Suggestion. We are called to go and make disciples, to share the gospel, but also to faithfully obey the words of God ourselves in personal devotion to him. So not just share your faith, but live our faith. It's not enough to remain silent, because our faith, our Jesus, should not be our best kept secret. If we knew enough of the gospel to put our faith in it at one point, we know enough of it to share it. And so now to the party in the room that may feel more aligned with the unprepared party, right? I just don't want to bash the Christians and go, okay, good, here we go. Christians, you suck. Share your faith, right? I don't want to end on that. But if anything, I don't want that to just like, well, good grief. Okay, wow, I didn't expect to get pummeled and beat up this morning. No, no, if anything, that was my heart. And I hopefully maybe if you're lazy in your faith, man, I'm only calling you out because God has already called you up to put you in a position to share your faith and to live your faith. So it's not to call you out to beat you down, but it's, man, to call all of us out as Christians to the call that has been put in our life to share our faith and to live our faith. But to those that may feel more aligned with the unprepared part, to go, you know what? I don't want to share the faith because I'm not even in the faith. I don't share Jesus because I don't personally know Jesus myself, because you can't share something that you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. And so full on, clear as day for the unprepared. If you're here today and you're like, man, I'm with that party, I don't know Jesus, I am prepared, I wouldn't be ready if Jesus were to come back today, if the groom were to come back for his bride, I wouldn't be ready. The only way to be prepared is to fully surrender your life to the Lord Jesus. That is the first step. That is the most vital step, is to come to a place where you recognize, I am unprepared, I don't know Jesus, I would be left out because I've never put my faith and trust in him for the forgiveness of my sins. Putting your faith in him for the forgiveness of your sins, that is the step to be prepared for his return. You've got to put your faith and trust in him. And so, and my fear is, I fear that many, many in my notes, I have many bold, all capitalized and underlined and italicized. I did all. And so I fear that many who think they know Jesus but are going to find out at the end of the day that they were actually unprepared. And they're going to be part of the party that we're like, hey, let us in. I went to church. Mm-hmm. Hey, I went to church camp when I was a kid. I went forward when I was 8. I've done nothing since then. But hey, you know, hey, my grandparents were members of this church. Let us in. Hey, I've been good. I haven't done that bad. I never physically murdered anybody. I'm not that bad of a person. Let me in. I fear that many people are going to find out that they were actually unprepared on that day. They said a prayer once upon a time, but they never allowed Jesus to come into their life and submit to his authority. You can say empty words so you can get the golden ticket to heaven and think, now I can continue to live however I want. But the scary thing is, you cannot proclaim heaven one day and continue to live like hell the next. You have got, this way I have it. You cannot surrender to the gospel and stay the same.
That's right.
You cannot accept Jesus, accept the gospel, and stay the same. Because let me tell you, if you can, we don't serve the same God. Right. If you can believe in the gospel and yet never change, you don't truly understand the gospel message. Because the goal of understanding that we are broken, messy sinners, and God is holy and righteous and good, and that he provided a way out of hell, a way out of our sinfulness to have forgiveness of sin and have eternal life, and yet you want to stay the same? The whole goal is to not want to be that way. It's to be more like Christ. You cannot accept the gospel and stay the same. Here's why. It's because Jesus loves you enough to save you, and he also loves you enough to not allow you to stay the same.
Right.
He wants you to be more like him. You cannot surrender to the gospel and choose to stay exactly the same, because if you can, you don't truly understand the gospel. Self is the problem. Our sin is the problem. And Jesus loves us enough to spare us that, to save us from that. And he loves us that much also to change us, to make us better, to make us more like him. Do you have something?
I have a little illustration.
Do it. Illustrate it.
Yeah.